I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and because I'm first time here speaking, I just shortly greet you. Last year I was here in April with my wife. I will share shortly my testimony. I came Christian 15 years ago. It was Easter time, and I went to visit there in the capital city, Helsinki, which is the capital city of Finland, and I went to see some of my relatives there. And I had a plan to go to see one new movie, and I went inside to movie place, but there back the ticket window lady said to me that this movie is sold out, you can't get any place here anymore because it was new movie, it was very popular. And so I came out in the street and I was thinking what I could do this evening, and I went to the telephone booth and tried to call for some of my friends, but he wasn't home. And then somebody had put there between the pages of the telephone book, had put some spiritual tracks. There was the salvation message, and I took one there and started to walk on the street and was reading the message of salvation. And maybe I walked some blocks, and after that there came a young lady and he stopped me, and she was also sharing spiritual tracks which told about Jesus. And this lady was very fanatic, and I said to her that I already know that there is God, but she said it's not enough, you have to be born again. And so she took me to her church, and I was thinking that maybe here we'll start some kind of theological discussing, but there didn't start any discussing. They just asked me that, do you want to repent and get your sin forgiven? And unasked, that yes, I will. And then they prayed shortly for me, and the peace of God came down, and I really felt it concretely in my heart that now there came peace of God to my heart. And after that, they asked me that, do you want that we will pray for you, that you will become filled with Spirit? And they prayed maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and I started to speak with new tongues. And after that, they asked that if you want, we will baptize you in the water. And I said, I'm ready to receive everything what heaven has reserved for my life after this moment. And so they baptized me. And so maybe after 1 hour, that lady had said me there in the street that you must be born again. I really was born again and filled with Spirit and baptized in the water. So I get very quick start inside to the kingdom of God. Maybe there went 2 or 3 years after that, and then Lord start to call me into ministry more strong and strong, and then he sent to my house one preacher from Washington State to have some Bible lessons. And that guy was very special guy. He had been many years in fields there because of the MS illness. But Lord had healed him total, and he could walk and could teach, and everything was well in his life. And he had 6 meetings there in my house, and then he said that, I'm sorry, I have to go back home. And then I started to pray, because there were so many people coming all the time to the meetings, that Lord, how we can go on now? And then Lord said to me that you have to start to preach. And it was quite a big shock for my life, because before that moment I had been sharing maybe only 5 minutes testimonies. But I had to start by weight, and the first time and maybe second and third time I had some books. First time I was teaching what it means to be born again, I had some book, and I took some notes there. Another time I was teaching what it means to be filled with Spirit. But I don't remember, was it the third or fourth time, and there came the anointing down, and after that I haven't need any other books but then the Bible was preached. And so I'm not anymore sharing 5 minutes testimony. I'm sorry, very sorry, but sometimes I speak quite long, but I hope you will have long suffering for me this night if I speak longly. And Lord has put my heart very strongly to help those person who has called, he has called in into the ministry. And I will find them out who they are and will pray for them and help them to receive some spiritual gifts and share them some teaching. Because we are leaving the 11th hour and vine dresser is still calling workers there in his vineyard. And so I'm this night also calling to you to work in his vineyard because we have very short time left. And because I want to help those people who God has called in ministry, I was 3 years or 2 years ago in Florida, a very big church, and I, when I was praying there, Lord told me that you have to write or make a book about those people who I have called in ministry. And we got it ready last November, but I'm very sorry it's still only in Finnish language. I can translate these words, like King's Commandment is this title, or King's Order, or King's Commission. This small Finnish word here down includes those all order and commission and commandment. And this other word is kings. And there are 11 chapters where I was teaching about what it means to have the call and receive it and to work in spirit and do work for the Lord. But maybe after a few months we get it translated we'll get it translated in English language. I visited North Carolina and there was one Finnish language lady who speaks well English, and she promised to make the interpretation. So Lord will help me to get it also available for you. And what I have in my heart today, we could put it under the title one sentence is, "You are the salt of the earth." And I will read from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So this verse 13 says very clearly, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is that good for nothing but be to be thrown out? So we have to all the time remember that we have called to be the salt of the earth. And we are if we really do what the Bible says for us and what Jesus talks to us, we are all the time salt. I remember a few years ago, there went an old preacher, Samba, to preach the bad areas there in New York. And maybe he was there in Harlem, and he was very strongly rebuking those pastors who had left the area and go away because that area is very bad. And he said that if you you who God has called to be salt, if you leave your place, then the flesh will give a bad smell. When I was young, and that time I was living in countryside, and that time there was not so many Friese or Frisiators at all, and we had all our meat there in the cellar, and the meat was there in the big vessel, and it was inside, there was salt water inside the vessel, and meat was there, and so it could stay good there. But sometimes it happened, there was some stones on the meat there, that the meat could stay under the salt water. But sometimes happened it that those stones rolled down into the salt water and meat raised up. And so it happened, sometimes it came above the salt water, and then there came worms after that. So it started to smell bad because it came up from the salt water. And I think God has called us to be inside the salt water all the time, so we could salt the others if we are like the fish which are swimming all the time inside the salt water. So we have to remember this. Then I want to go to the other Bible chapter, and it is here 2 Kings and chapter 2 and 19. 2 Kings chapter 2 and 19. And before this, what I now read here, this happened that Elijah had just received a double portion. Elijah had gone into the heaven to be with the Lord. There came the chariot to pick him up to the heaven, and his ministry imparted. It came to Elijah's turn to come and have the prophet's ministry, and he was very strongly thirst for the Lord because he wanted to receive double portion. And we remember that Elijah was a very strong prophet, even prayed and fire came down from heaven. And however, Elijah had so strong thirst that he asked Elijah that I want to get double portion. So we understand that Elijah had really deep thirst in his heart. Elijah prayed and fire came, but Elijah wanted something more. He wanted double portion from the Lord. And they went through the Jordan River, and Elijah hit the river, and he divided two. He hit with his mantle, and so Elijah went heaven, but his mantle fall down there into the earth, and Elijah took it. And he came back there on the other side of the Jordan River, and he also hit the water by the Elijah's mantle, and it divided also before him, like it had done before that old prophet. And after that he came to the Jericho. And I read this from verse 19, what happened there in the Jericho. Then the men of the city said to Elijah, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elijah which he spoke. So we understand that there came a big change. We understand that the whole city got its drinking water from that same foundation of the waters, but also the old plants got the water, because the Bible says here that ground barren, and it means that if ground barren, that there is not coming any more fruit. So also the plants got the watering water from the foundation. So we understand that just small bowl of salted water what Elijah cast there in the sources, it did not change the water in natural way, but it was supernatural miracle what Lord did, that whole foundation of the waters got a big change immensely when Elisha cast this bowl of the salted water there into the foundation of the waters. So there came big change in the city of Jericho one day. So it was like the challenge for Elisha to start straight away to do something. They understood that now this man has received anointing because Elijah had gone home. The men of city Jericho, they came ask help from Elisha because they knew that now he has the ministry of prophet. And he really had the answer for these questions. And what it does says that the situation of this city is pleasant. Maybe that there wasn't any natural enemies. There was not any army fighting against the city of Jericho at that time. So they could live in peace, but they had big problem because the water was bad. And what this says for here for the New Testament church, maybe that we are living good life and we have wood enough and we have good places to live and all situation around us are good. But still there are sometimes the water problem that water is bad. And then God has the God could solve this problem, and he just asked us to cast salt on those foundations of the source of the water, and there will become big change. And I believe that first God wants to cast water, the salted water, into the church, that we could go out to the world, cast salt there. We need first the salt that we could salt the whole world. And so I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is the salt message, that God has called us to salt the whole world. Because those waters there in the world, they are bad. They are the sources of the bad water. But if we cast their salt, there will come big change. So God has asked us to salt this world by his gospel, by his word, by his spirit, by his power. And so there will come big change. In Jericho, this big change came straight away when Elisha cast this bowl of salted water there in the source of the water. It came straight away. But this happened also in Acts, in New Testament, when Philip went down to Samaria. And he preached gospel there, and there came big change. Bible tells that there came big joy in the city. The situation of the city changed there. People came happy because they received Jesus. They need not anymore to serve any idols. They could cast all their old life back and receive a new life, a new joy, a new hope. And so God has called us to salt the whole world. And so we can see the big change. Then we can go to the Gospel John and chapter 4. And I will start from verse 5. And this speak about Jesus. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's wealth was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink."
John 4.
John 4, yes. Okay. You didn't understand. Good, thank you. Let me know if you don't understand. I can say again. You can ask openly. Because I want to learn better English. So I start again, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." for his disciple had come away into the city to buy wood. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of the water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And I will read here verse 28. I go on there. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" So we see that here was a discussing there at the well of Jacob. Jesus was talking with this Samaritan lady, and Jesus was handling the sin problem in that lady's life. When this lady went there into the city, he said that there is a man who told me all things that I ever did. But Jesus didn't tell everything what this lady had done. Jesus just told the main sin. And it touched this lady's heart so deeply that she went there into the city and told everybody there in the city that come and see that there is the prophet at the well of Jacob. So it was that living water, this salt, which touched this lady's heart very deeply. You understand that this lady was touched very deeply, because she went there in the city and felt that there is a man who told everything what I ever did. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is this kind. If it really touches our deeply, we are ready to go and tell it everyone we meet, and said that Jesus has touched our life. And real gospel touches this way, that straight away this lady wanted to bring other people to meet Jesus. When Jesus revealed her sins and she repented, then she was straight away ready to bring other people to meet Jesus. And this is real gospel, that when we have forgiven our sin, we are ready to bring other people to receive same, I can say, experience, or to receive the new life. And when I received Jesus there in the capital city of Helsinki in Finland, it touched my heart so deeply, and I start to straight away to try to get to bring my relatives inside to the kingdom, and my neighbors and everybody what I knew. And I was that time leaving maybe 3 hours trip from that church where I became Christian, where I got that born again. And so I, however, drove there many times and took some people to receive Jesus. And once I had discussed it with three persons, and they said that we are ready to receive Jesus. And that time I was not yet so strong in Christ that I could by myself guide them into the kingdom, because I had been just Christian maybe one or two months. But I took them into the church, and they received their Jesus and get filled with Spirit, and they baptized there straight away. And one time I had talked with three persons, and they said that, oh, we are ready to receive Jesus. But then I had a problem. I didn't have car at all, and it was Saturday when I was talking with those people, and they said, oh, yes, we are ready to come with you tomorrow there in Helsinki. And I never tell them that I don't have a car at all. But I prayed, and then Lord provided me a car. Somebody came to say me that there is one farmer who bought a new car, and he has a used one there in his home. And I went there, and I got a very good deal and very cheap price. And then I had on Sunday morning, I had a car, and I could take those people into the church. And they got saved, and they came filled with Spirit. So I think that these physical problems are not so big if we really are burning the fire of God. Because the Bible says if we are seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, so He will add all other things to our life. We need not to worry them if we do work for the Lord. He promised us to add all the things to our life. So our part is just to receive His plan and do what He says us, and all other things will come. He will add them. They are like there the beside. They are not the main point. The main point is that we do work for the Lord, and Lord will provide everything. So we see here that this lady received very big change there at the well of Jacob. Verse there where she was talking with Jesus, this well of Jacob. But when they went on this discussing, Jesus started to talk that there is living water. There is Messiah which you could receive. And finally, Jesus here in the verse 26 revealed Himself to this lady and said, I who speak to you am He. He said, I am Messiah. I am Christ. And then there came big change in that lady's life. Lord gave a new life to her. Amen. There had been so many husbands in her life, and that she had such that time wasn't the real husband for her. And so I think that sometimes the problem is also some Christian's life, that they can't bring people into the kingdom. They can't go there into the city and say that, come to meet Jesus, because there is still some sin in their life. So they had the verse to repent, that God can make they use able, that he could use them. So we have to walk in light all the time. The anointing can't flow through us if we are living in sin. And there in John chapter 15, God says that, Jesus says there that I'm true vine and you are the branches. We are the branches, and we have to remember that he is that real vine tree. And we have to remember to stay there in real vine tree. And remember that we are only branches. And branches can't produce any fruit without Jesus. So we have to stay there. Maybe I read some verses here, John chapter 15. John, how you say? Is it better? And verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So here the verse 2 says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But here in the down in my Bible, it says that he lifts it up. He lifts up this branch. And I think it's more close to Greek language, this translation, that he lifts this branch up. And what does it mean that there in natural world that we have there the vine tree and there are branches, and sometimes it happens that the one branch goes down and touches the ground, touches the earth. And when it happens that branch goes down and touches the earth, and then it goes down and touches the earth and comes again up, it will still bring a little bit maybe fruit, but its fruit is bitter. And vine dresser puts, I don't know how it is here in California, but in Israel, all time, they put stones under the branch that it will not touch the earth, because they did not want that bitter fruit, that bad fruit. They wanted only good fruit. And so Jesus works also same way with us, that if we start to love this world, he starts to bring us back to the rock of Jesus. He put us back to his rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. So that we will not touch the earth. We have to stay there in the body of the vine and remember that we are branches. And without him we can't bear any kind of fruit. And if you will start to love this world, the fruit will be bitter. And it will be bad. It will be the same bad thing like I said there, that meat there in cellar, if it comes up from the salt water, it comes bad, there comes worms. And so the fruit will be bad if we start to love this world. So he says here that he wants to make our joy full. And if somebody has full joy, it means something exciting or some special thing. Maybe you can take a glass of water and put it under the water tap, and you can let it go full and go overflow. And this means that you have a wool soil. You are like the glass of water that is under the running water. It goes all the time over the edges of the glass. And so God wants to fill us with his wool soil, that we are overflowing all the time, that there is what we can share for the people. That there is all the time living water, there is all the time salt to share to the people who are in the world. He wants to make our joy full. So here in the verse 13 says that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago I visited in Bible school in Dallas, it's Christ for the Nation Bible School, and I met there one young guy from Canada, and I was praying with him and blessing him in his ministry. And I met him 2 times. I went there two different times because my sister was studying there that time. And later, my sister got a letter from Canada, and there they told that this young guy was dead. And what happened to him? He was one summer day, he was laying there just on the beach beside some lake, and then there came 2, maybe 4 or 5 year old kids came to also to play there on the beach. And those kids went there into the water, but they couldn't swim, and they went too far there in the water. And this young guy ran there and succeeded to lift those young kids up there from the boat, and he pushed them back to the shore. But he himself couldn't also not swim, and so he sank and died. And so he saved 2 lives, but he lost his own life. And when I heard this story, it came very strongly, this Bible verse, to my mind, and then lay down one's life for his friends. And after that, what happened, there started very strong, huge revival in that city where this guy was living. It touched young people's lives so greatly that they wanted to give their life to Jesus Christ. So God makes miracles. Other time there happened also in Canada, there was in Finnish language Pentecostal church, there was a very lovely brother who was the pastor there, and it was springtime, and maybe April or in the end of March, and some non-Christian man came to ask him to come with him for fishing. And so they went together there on the ice on the lake, and they drilled some holes there and were fishing there. But then it was too late time in spring, and so the ice was not anymore strong enough, and they walled down, and then that pastor helped that non-Christian guy up there from the water, but he did not have any more power to get himself up on the ice, and so she sank and died. And This guy who was fishing with him said that before this pastor fell down there into the water, he blessed him and said that, "I'm ready to die, but you are not, because you don't have Jesus in your heart." And after that, there started a revival in that church and in that area when this pastor died. He gave his life, but other one could save it. And I believe also that young guy there in Canada, that when those small 2 kids, when they grow up, come bigger, they understand that there was somebody who helped us one day out from the water, and maybe Lord will make them preachers and will make them to do the ministry what he had planned for that young guy. God has so great eternal plans that we sometimes don't even understand what he is doing. And here some of these verses says that he wants that our fruit will remain. And we all Christians are waiting for that there will fruit come. It is like in the natural world that if there is good fruit trees, everybody wants to taste its goodness. And so we also want to see the fruit of spirit and all spiritual fruit in our life. But sometimes there is a problem, there will not come the fruit in our life because we haven't yet planted the seed first. We have to plant first the seed and then the fruit will come. And the Lord has called us to plant the seed, and if you share out the gospel, so you are planting the seed. And if you are, and you have to, and we have to water our seed by our prayers, and so the fruit will come. And if you don't pray for those people to whom we share the gospel, it doesn't work. But we have to water that this seed by our prayers, and so the fruit will come. And He has called us to bear much fruit. And He has called us to bear fruit which will remain. So it means He has called us to bear eternal fruit. Only the eternal fruit will stay. Because these only earthly things are passing away. And only those heavenly things are staying forever. So He has called us to bear eternal fruit all the time. But we have to remember to plant seed. Plant seeds all the time that there will grow up the fruit. And I had here some two verses what I want to still read, and they are one from John. Did you? John? And chapter 7 and 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Bible says that Jesus cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said." So it means that we have to believe how the scripture says us to believe. Many people are believing, but some people believing according to the religion. I came just home a little more than 2 weeks ago in Israel, and there I saw much religional things. All places, all memorial places where Jesus did something, or where King David did something, or other religion has built monuments there, but they do not help anything. Because those people are not believing according to the scripture. They are believing according to the tradition. And tradition is like the heavy burden, and we have to, if we have some traditional problem, we have to cast them out, because they make us too slow to do work for the Lord. And I was very happy that Protestant people have their own place. They have I think they have the real Calvary and real garden tomb there. And then the Catholic and Orthodox has their own Calvary. They have where they believe that Calvary was. They have built their church, and on their Calvary they have put their Jesus, and he's still there on the cross. And then there are those thieves beside Jesus, and then they have put Virgin Mary, very big monument there beside Jesus. And I was very happy that Protestant people have their own place to go. They have the empty tomb. Those religious people has still their Jesus on the cross. But our Jesus has resurrected. Tomb is empty, and we are living this resurrection power in spirit. And we can live this new life in resurrection power if we all the time remember that our old man, old Adam, must be crucified with Jesus Christ. Old life must be nailed there on the cross, and so we could live new life. I remember there was maybe in Finland some old preacher told a story that he said that you can try to nail your old man on the cross by yourself. But there comes a problem, the hammer hand is still free. You can nail your feet and your other hand, but your hammer hand is still free. And then he asked the question that who will nail on the cross your hammer hand? And then he said that other Christians will do that. And I really believe it's true, because we are building up each other, and sometimes we are testing each other. Do we walk according to the flesh, or do we walk according to the spirit? We are testing each other all the time. And Lord has put this test, and so the other Christians are nailing the last hand on the cross, depending on are you the right hand or left hand. So the other Christian will nail old the last part of the old Adam there on the cross. That old man have to be all the time dead, that we can live new life. Amen. We were bearing there in Israel. I was there with the group, including 27 people, and also Brother Robert Curry from Oregon was there with us. And then we baptized there in the River Jordan, seven persons. We buried the old life there in the River Jordan. And it's a good place to bury or baptize somebody there in the River Jordan, because the Bible tells us that River Jordan is like the river of death, because it meant very much in the history of Israel when they crossed that river Jordan, because they after that they came into the promised land, and we can't live in our promised all the time and see all the time old man there on the cross with Jesus. We have to see him or her there all the time. Yes. There it is, old Adam with Christ. And then we can in spirit live new life. And then we can walk with the resurrected Christ all the time. Yes. And Jesus says that his burden is light, or he gives us the burden we could carry with him. And you remember from the Old Testament time that when Elijah called Elisha into the ministry, Elisha was plowing there with the pair of ox, and there was the yoke upon those oxes. So the yoke with those two ox together to do work, to do this plowing work. And so they could to pull the same plow and to do the work. And Bible tells that Elisha was guiding or driving that 12 of them. There were 12 pairs before him, those ox plowing. And same way that Jesus has called us to bear the same yoke with him. He wants us to be like those oxes were there in Old Testament, that this yoke put these two ox to walk together. And Jesus wants us to walk with him, and heavenly yoke wants to keep us beside. And if you are walking with Jesus all the time, and there is his burden and his yoke upon your shoulders, so when Jesus is walking, you are walking, and when Jesus is getting victory and walking upon all devil spirit, all serpent head, you are also getting all the time victory. So we can get all the time the victory if we take same steps with the Jesus Christ. So we can carry the same yoke with him. He has called us to carry the same yoke all the time. And this is blessed way. He has called us to the obedience way, to walk in light and to hear what he says us to do. And I want still maybe finish this message. It looks like I'm finishing. I can't promise it yet. Romans chapter 16. And Romans chapter 16 and verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So I want to point out here one thing. This verse 19 says to the Roman church that your obedience has become known to all. Because they were obedience, God gave to them the promise that he will crush Satan under their feet shortly. So if we are walking with Jesus, having the same yoke with him and walking in obedience way, so Satan will be under our feet automatically. It is a spiritual law. It happens automatically if we walk in light and we walk with Jesus and we walk the obedience ways and paths. So the Satan will be automatically under our feet. Sometimes there are problems. People try to get Satan be quiet. They may jump and they may cry out loudly, but this doesn't help. It helps that we are walking in light and walking obedience ways and paths after him. So he has called us in obedience. And already there in the Old Testament time, God called the nation of Israel. There was the blessings of the obedience. But then there was also the curses if there were not obedience. But I think there in New Testament church there is not curses, because Jesus carried all curses there on the cross. But some people who are not walking in obedience way also in New Testament church, they will live in wilderness, in dry land, because of the unobedience spirit, obedience heart. So God has all ask us all to walk in light and walk in obedience, so he could bless our life, and so anyone need not to be there in the wilderness in dry land. He calls us to the promised land where is water and where the grass is growing and where the trees are bringing fruit all the time. So he has called us to bear much fruit. And I think that I'm getting finished, and we will pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before your holy presence, and Father, if there was something that people could not understand because of language, I ask that Holy Spirit will however reveal this message and meaning what I'm talking about this night. And bless, Lord, everyone you have sent here this night, and touch everybody's heart and help us to be the salt of the earth, and give us the power to cast salt there to the sources of the water in this world. Hallelujah. That people will get saved and that their bad water will change clean water and clear water. Hallelujah. Lord, to help us to do this and be the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. And help us to go and walk after you those righteousness paths and the ways that you will pour out our lives the blessing of obedience. Hallelujah. And then the Satan will be under our feet. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift your holy name upon all other names. We lift the name Jesus upon upon all other names in this meeting and in our life. Hallelujah. And we thank you, present, and thank you, anointing, what you are pouring down just now. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank there will be more anointing in the gift of prophecy in somebody's life. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I thank there will come up stronger prophecies in spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, and I thank the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. We thank your mighty blessings and we thank you. Touch our heart this night. Hallelujah. Lord, we draw on you. Hallelujah. And we believe you will draw on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank your healing power. Hallelujah. We thank you will heal people here. Hallelujah. We thank you will set them free now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There is in the leg the problem in the right side. I don't remember the name of English, but this place there is the problem. And in the name of Jesus, we command this pain go now out in the name of Jesus. And let this wood come heal now in the name. This leg come heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Resurrection power, what we are leaving. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray all curses in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We destroy all work of enemy. Hallelujah. Oh, we proclaim the victory now. We thank you have earned us the victory in the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And we thank this garden tomb is empty. Hallelujah. And we thank there is power in your spirit. Hallelujah. Corre se che de me sente de glory. Corre se de cante de glory. Bless these people. Bless them. Go all over the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Help them to share mighty testimonies all around. Hallelujah. Corre se che de me sente. And touch somebody's chest. And Father, I command the pain go from the chest now in the name of Jesus Christ. And let this part of the body get healed now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give all glory to God. Hallelujah. And we thank your power in somebody's right shoulder now in the name of Jesus Christ. And let this shoulder and whole hand become well and get healed now in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the pain go out now in the name of Jesus. And let there be freedom now. Hallelujah. We thank there will be the power of the youth in that hand now. Hallelujah. We thank you, glorify your holy name. Hallelujah. We thank your holy presence. We insure your presence, Lord. Oh, resede que de besente. Oh, resede que de melaya. Oh, resede kenti. And we command the pain go out from the neck now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We receive healing from neck now in the name of Jesus. We thank it will get healed now, the neck. Hallelujah. Thank Lord Jesus. And we thank the pain from the head. The headache will go out in the name of Jesus Christ. And there will be freedom. That this migraine will go out in the name of Jesus Christ. And we let it never come back. The migraine, how you say migraine? In the name of Jesus. We command it to go now in the name of Jesus. And let there be healing and freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say to migraine, never come back in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank your blessing. Thank your holy presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.